opinions on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Good morning. Carl and Linda Botts are out and about doing a little work on location, so they're going to be out. And today we do have a very special in-studio guest. Welcome.
Good morning, Sue. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Now you have to introduce yourself for me.
Baron Browning. Steve Anderson, how are you?
I am doing well. Baron, if folks haven't met you, we want to talk a little bit about what you're doing these days, because Anderson is really, I honestly have been hearing such good news coming out of Anderson, like as far as the crime dropping, the way the city council is just moving things forward, just lots of great things happening in Anderson. So we'd love for you to talk about what's going on in the city of Anderson.
We appreciate that.
You are very welcome, and welcome. Gosh, it looks like it's going to be a great day here in the North Valley. If you are planning on heading out and about, mostly cloudy and a high of 61 still. Overnight lows dropping down to 41. Doesn't look like rain. So if you're still cleaning up after the recent storms, the next few days are looking pretty good, too. We should be seeing some sunshine as well. It's 39 and clear in downtown Reading.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you.
Great.
All right. So we got a lot going on in the city of Anderson, that's for sure. Business development, of course. We've all heard of U.S. Offsites. They're a modular building, and they will be putting up the hotels and apartments. At their peak, there'll be about 250 jobs come in the city of Anderson over about a 3 or 4 year period.
That is incredible. And I like to hear that, more jobs, because that's one thing we're hearing a lot of is that, so many small businesses due to COVID-19 had to close up shop. And so we were seeing kind of an exodus, of businesses and lots of people moving away. But with what's happening in Anderson, as the crime is decreasing, more people are moving into Anderson. They're feeling safer when they're out on the streets, that the criminals are being arrested and they're being put in jail. And I do like to hear that. And so, like I said, it looks like you're doing so many great things for the community down there. And Anderson is growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, we do have an amazing city council. We do a really good job of working together as a team. And really seeing the vision and the goal of the community and really keeping it a community-orientated city as we go forward. The housing development obviously is going on above Walmart in two different subdivisions, but they continue to build out and continue to move forward in their progress of filling the community with some great citizens.
Absolutely. And the Anderson Police Chief doing so well down there as well. And a huge support in that from the community.
Yeah, Chief Johnson has done an amazing job with his team of putting together officers that understand what our community is about. They get involved. Most of the officers actually live within our city limits, which is one to aspire to do for sure and not live outside of your community. And that's all because of the less crime and the going forward as the chief allows them to move in a direction that they see fit. So they like a task. They train hard for it. And Chief Johnson allows them to move into that, whatever that is, whether that's a canine handler or road patrol or the SWAT team or the drug arson task force. They allow them to move into those avenues and be successful in their own right.
Right, and there's not a lot of tolerance for crime down in Anderson. Like, honestly, and you've heard this in the news, I've reported it, that Walmart was kind of a dump for stolen cars. And then all of a sudden, boy, that turned around. I can't remember the last time a stolen car was found in that parking lot.
Yeah, it was amazing that first couple of years that we got started on this program and the amount of cars that were being towed out of Walmart and the amount of crime that was going on. Walmart has done a great job of working with the police department in eradicating crime and turning it in and actually prosecuting those that are committing crimes in those areas. So we definitely appreciate their partnership as we move forward. But it's actually bigger than that. Over the last year, Walmart gave us a grant. We now have cameras that lead up into Walmart. So we can actually take pictures of license plates due to a crime. and look back at the time frame and see really which ones hit. And then we've actually busted a couple that have come back later on. So really how it works is, and we just got a class on this at our Anderson City Council from Officer Mike Halligan in regards to the cameras. So you can't just go into the camera system and look. You have to have a reason to go in there. So every time you go into that camera system, you have to have a valid reason why you're going into that system. And you have to actually type in what your reason is. And that's just for the court system. In case that comes back on the city or the police department. So what they do is they'll look at a time frame. Let's say there's a robbery up there, which there was recently. Sally's Beauty got robbed recently. So in that time frame, there was a description of the vehicle. We knew about what time it left. The officers went in and checked those cameras and pinpointed what the vehicle was, make, model, a license plate, obviously. A few hours later, that vehicle passed back by, and what they did was they just basically pinged that was the license plate they were looking for. So once that license plate went past those cameras, it then pinged the officers that vehicle was back in the area. They went up and then arrested the lady that actually robbed the store.
That is great. That is such good news. Yes, and, you know, that's one thing. Without those cameras, that wouldn't have been possible.
Right, and that's a grant from Walmart, so we appreciate Walmart. Now we're looking as a city council and as a police department to put those cameras in other areas that are also high crime. But again, you got to understand that you're not just looking for every vehicle going through there. That's against the law. So we do. We're very good with going in there only when there's a specific crime. Like it would have been great recently. I'm sure you saw it on Facebook. But Anderson River Park, the soccer park, somebody went in there and tore it up. About $10,000 or $12,000 worth of damage.
I read that story.
So it'd have been nice to have cameras on both of the roads leading in and out of Anderson River Park, so we could get those. And I would tell you that if you look back at history, that's about the third time in the last year that's gone on where the city's paying out $10,000 and $12,000 in damage, whether that's damage to the soccer park or to our restrooms or other vandalism that goes on within the park.
So you are thinking you're looking into getting cameras out there?
Yeah, we are looking into cameras in a few different areas, which are we see as high crime in the city.
That's excellent because it's expensive to replace those parks, the grass and all of that. And I remember, you know, years ago, this is way long before you made it to Anderson, someone went out and started spinning Brody's out in the softball, you know, area, mm-hmm. and just tore it up. And it takes so long for that, you know, grass to recover. And it is damaged. I mean, how much would it be to replace the?
So between the grass and the sprinkler systems, mm-hmm. about $10,000 to $12,000.
See, that is a lot.
Yes.
And, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're just out there. Oh, I was just playing around in my car. No, you're causing over $10,000 worth of damage. You need to stop doing it.
Exactly.
And so, you know, we're hoping somebody's going to turn them in down the road. Somebody's going to brag about it.
Yes.
Those are the kind of things that people brag about because it's, you know, I'm not sure what kind of vehicle, but, you know, people like attention. Like after a while, they're going to talk. And I firmly believe we're going to find out who did that.
Well, we have a fantastic detective department, so I'm sure they'll get to the bottom of it.
That is wonderful. Now, you guys are still dealing with the widening of Interstate 5 and traffic being reduced. How does that affect the traffic in Anderson? Or is it, you know, does it affect the traffic going in and out of Anderson? Because I haven't noticed any difference, you know, as far as how long it takes me to get through Anderson. I go down there, you know, daily, it seems.
Well, I would tell you, it's, in my eyes, it's actually helped. Our fast food joints are, the lines are always full. So people are slowing down and actually gets to see what's in Anderson. And I think they take that time to go ahead and pull off and refresh and get back on the road.
And you do have quite a bit of businesses that are still open, that remained open through this pandemic. And do you expect more growth with, like, restaurants and things like that once the pandemic is, you know, they decide to lift the restrictions? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think we're already getting growth. We have a gas station that just bought on the corner of I-5 North Street.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to tear down the old Premier Bank that sits on that corner that's been vacant for a few years. In fact, as the story goes, it was going to be Dunkin' Donuts at one time.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, so that's the same building. So that'll get torn down, and they'll build a new gas station, new modern gas station with all the amenities with there. So I think you're going to continue to see that area blossom and grow, and as we move forward with the city, it will just prosper.
That is terrific.
And having six lanes obviously helps, right?
Well, right. Definitely. Well, that's wonderful. Well, like I said, this past week or so, I spent a lot of time there. Anyway, thank you so much once again for joining us here on KCNR. This morning we've got Baron Browning.
Baron Browning, yes.
Okay, on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460. You can also hear us online at kcnr1460.com. The time, 7:15. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? All have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
At Reading Electric Utility, we recognize the value of education and the impact it can have on our families and our community. Interested in pursuing a career in science, technology, engineering, or math? Start by applying for a college scholarship or technical school grant offered by Reading Electric Utility. For more information about available scholarships and grants, visit cityofreading.org/RU scholarships. Applications must be submitted by March 10, 2021. Your future looks bright.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator, coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean, healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Zip on over to Drip, now open at 2766 Balls Ferry Road in Anderson, next to Anytime Fitness. Drip features healthy and delicious drinks and shakes. Drip offers energy teas packed with antioxidants, delicious full meal replacement shakes, coffee loaded with protein, power oats, energy drinks, and so much more. Drip is open Monday through Friday from 7 to 7 and weekends 8 to 4. Stop by today, 2766 Balls Ferry Road in Anderson. Zip on over to Drip.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Real good on the pressure, being all that I can be.
Good morning, KCNR, Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You can get us on 605-4567. I'm Baron Browning. Lynn and Carl on an assignment this morning, or out of town, or they're doing something fun, I'm sure. Anyway, it's good to be here. This morning we're joined with Rob Burrows and Michelle Kostoff from the Northern California Veterans Museum.
Good morning. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Barry.
Michelle, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are
right
you?
Right on. Are you nervous?
No.
I am. I'm just kidding.
I've been on here with Rob a couple of times. I'm right good.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys going. What you got going on?
Hey, well, if folks don't know, we're the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and one of our programs is Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. And so through that program, we've been working on putting lots of different grants together to help our veterans in the community. And one of the grants we've been working on was an arts grant with CalArts to try to be able to do some things with our veterans here locally in Northern California. Well, back in 2019, we put in for a CalArts grant. This is our sixth time we've been working on this over the years. We finally got it April last year after the COVID started, but we put it in before the COVID. And the grant is called Battlefield Expressions PTSD Art Therapy. And the program is designed for us to be able to bring veterans into a program that have been isolated or sheltering in place or that are not necessarily allowing themselves to be out in a public situation because of their PTSD or military experience or things like that. And so the way it's set up is for us to be able to offer arts programs and art supplies to veterans that are need up to 200 as a gift to them, and then allow us to be able to have some instruction coming in to be able to help them with that. And so we've just applied again for the grant for next year. I don't know if we'll get it or not, but I'd like to kind of turn it over to Michelle. Michelle is the administrator of the grant as far as the instruction and all of the different things like that.
Perfect.
So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be having art classes that are going to be at our restoration facility at 3271 Brush Street. It's the old Cottonwood Firehouse. So we're working with four different instructors. They're all going to be working two different classes each weekend, and we'll be doing in person as well as sending out kits to be able to give those to the veterans who are still sheltering in place at home. So if they want to participate in the program, they'll be able to do that. What we have is just a registration process. It's real simple. It's on our website. You fill out a little form, and then it tells us that you want to participate in the class, and it's going to be at NorCalVeteransMuseum.org, and it's going to be between March the 6th, and then the culmination of it will be in July. So July 31st is when we're planning on having our gala event. So what the veterans are going to be doing is, it's not just the veterans, it's their families as well. They're going to be participating in the art program. They'll create pieces of art that can be represented from their memories, their experiences, you know, just something to try to help them with their PTSD therapy. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have a big gala event and have all of the pieces of art displayed for that event, as well as be part of the main museum for a permanent display. So we'll actually have an entire art wing that'll be just PTSD art therapy that's created by all Northern California veterans.
And that'll be at the Anderson location?
Yes. When we get that one built on Ronda Road, that's what we're waiting for, but that's where it'll be housed at the main thing. But so we'll have the other pieces displayed at our 2110 North Street building for our office until that facility is permanently built.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I have a couple questions. So I'm sheltered in place at home, and I get these art supplies. Will that come with video instruction or...
So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be recording the sessions and having them available like through Zoom, and then they'll also be on YouTube.
Perfect.
So that way they can go to the YouTube channel for the Northern California Veterans Museum and be able to see the videos there, as well as, you know, contact us through the Facebook page or through our website and be able to say, hey, I missed this part of the class. Can I come back and check that out? So it'll all be available.
That's amazing.
It's amazing what digital technology can do these days.
Yeah, and as you know, we have a huge amount of veterans within Shasta County. Mm-hmm. A lot of them served overseas and have varying degree of PTSD. So
absolutely.
Just amazing. Thank you both for getting this started. I know they'll prosper because of it.
Well, we get people coming into the offices there in Anderson all the time, and they say, I've got a family member who served either Iraq or Afghanistan, or my Vietnam veteran father still has issues, or the veteran has passed and the widow is there, and the widow is sheltering in place by themselves. They don't know what to do. They're isolated. This whole program is designed to reach out to them in their isolation. So they can either come to a place of like-mindedness, because a lot of times veterans don't want to talk to people that aren't veterans because of how the social effect is sometimes thrown back in their face and in the blame game. And so this program is designed to be like-minded individuals where you come and it's a place of, the term is like-mindedness. So nobody's going to point a finger at you. Nobody's going to say, why did you do what you did? We're going to invite them in as combat veterans to combat veterans, as veterans to veterans, because we're a family. And the whole idea is to invite them in, have them be in an atmosphere that's protected, an atmosphere that they can take a deep breath in, and they can look at the canvas and they can go, how am I going to express myself? How am I going to allow that to be able to come from my mind and my heart, my soul, and transpire onto the paper or the canvas, whatever that medium is? And it is a way for us to allow them to get rid of some of those pains and start some of that healing process. Some of our instructors are counselors, so they're not just art instructors, but they're counselors also. And so it's just a great opportunity for us to be able to be a helping hand out and a helping hand up, because it's so important. Our veterans serve our nation all around the world in conflicts, and even in non-conflicts, the operational tempo sometimes is so stringent, as you know, as a Marine, that when they come back, their lives are never the same. Even if they're not in combat, their lives are never the same. But they need an outlet, and a lot of times they hold on to that like a clenched fist, and it rocks their world, but they never allow it to release. And so part of this program is a way for us to allow the veterans to release that in one manner or another, and for them to come back and be successful individuals in our community, successful citizens. Our veterans do so much for our entire nation, and they're such a great asset for us to have here. And we want to make sure that they know, hey, we appreciate you so much. We don't want you falling through the cracks. We want you to be a viable part of our society. And, you know, once again, as you know, we lose 22 veterans a day to suicide. We hear it. We see it all the time, even in our local community. And so this is another opportunity to get them involved with other individuals, again, that are like-minded. So maybe they just need another friend they can call and talk to. And through this program, they develop that friendship. Or they all of a sudden find, okay, look, there's other people here that are going through the same thing I'm going through. And so they can relate to that. And then they don't feel alone. They don't feel like they're the only ones in the world that are having this particular situation. You know, at nighttime when it gets dark, a lot of times the devil raises his ugly head, and that affects veterans at night, a lot of stuff like that. Because it's quiet, they're by themselves, sometimes there's drinking involved, whatever else. So we're just trying to get people involved, these veterans back involved into this program, and to help family members deal with that too. Because a lot of times the family members are deep in the situation, but they don't know how to find help, or they don't know how to release their own issues, especially after there's been a divorce or a death in the family with the veterans or anything along with the military. And this is another way that the family can express themselves. It's open to children also, the children of the veterans family. So we're encompassing the entire nucleus of our veterans family. And our, part of that's through our Homeward Bound Military Family Program. So, because there's so many times when the veteran has issues and then there's nothing available for the spouse. There's nothing available for the kids. And there may be abuse there that's not intended to be there, but there may be abuse there that needs to be recognized, and there may need to be an outlet to help with that healing process. And we are hoping that this is part of that healing process.
Therapy through art.
Therapy exactly. through art. Love and several it. Different mediums, too. And so it's it really is the whole idea is that the calming effect, bring them centered, getting them centered again, allowing them to sometimes face some of these demons that are still in their mindset from wherever they were or whatever they experienced, and to release that, get it out of their systems.
Well, we're military personnel, so a lot of times we'll go and try something once, and when it doesn't work, we never go back and try anything again, and it's sad. So I'm hoping and wishing that if you're one that has PTSD and you've been through a program that you didn't feel like was there for you, that you'll reach out.
Yeah. We hope that they'll want to be excited about the program, because it's a definite opportunity for them to have a positive creative outlet and be able to express themselves in that manner. So it's not just, you know, they're stuck at home or they're isolated somewhere where they can't get to other options or other opportunities. And we're trying to make this available to pretty much everyone who qualifies. Anybody with a honorable discharge DD-214, their family is available to be able to be part of the program.
Well, I love that you encompass the whole family, because a lot of times we leave them out through this process. And so we are just trying to help the one that came back from the military, from their war, and strive on their own in isolation, really, and PTSD. And then there's underlying issues that are going on within the family. And a lot of times they don't even know it. So they're just, a lot of times it's just verbal abuse, not necessarily physical abuse, and they don't even see it because in their mind they're just saying what they think. So
this is
amazing.
Well, we've done some research on it and we've looked at a lot of things and so we just thought, you know what? This grant is out there. How can we utilize this grant for our community? And then we started the radio program here in Battlefield Expressions and then we were already involved with Homeward Bound and then the grant came up for veterans through the Arts Council. And we thought, you know what? Let's put these together and let's see if we can make something of it. We were so surprised when we got, it's an $18,000 grant with matching funds through the museum. Sweet. And so we were able to go out and purchase all these supplies on it so they can do watercolor or acrylic, they can do oil, they can do pastels, they can do drawing, sketching, all different ways for them to be able to do it. And I think one of the really neat pieces is that when they're done, a portion of whatever their art is, whatever they want to donate back to the museum, now becomes permanent display of PTSD art for the museum, but also for the community to see some of these creations that are made by veterans and veterans' families who are expressing themselves as part of this healing program.
So, the instruction process, is there instructors that you're bringing in?
Yeah, we have four different instructors. There's four different ladies that are going to be working with us, and they're going to be overseeing the class as well as I'll be there, and then Rob will be there. And they'll be going through the basics of kind of learning how to use the mediums, the different types of paints, and how to apply it to the canvas, that kind of a thing. But the rest of it's just going to be kind of intuitive art because we're encouraging them to paint what they feel or to express themselves through whatever medium they choose to put it on, either on the canvas, on the paper, whatever they want to do. It's not structured as far as, oh, you have to paint this picture. It's what is in your heart, what is in your mind.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
But I say there's some things worth fighting for. What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down. They say we don't realize the mess we're getting in. Before you start your preaching, let me ask you this, my friend.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Want to have the most unique, memorable Valentine's weekend? Shining Care presents The Shining Affair. Saturday, February 13th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. The best part? It's happening from the comfort and safety of your own home. It's an elegant virtual evening of interactive entertainment, including live music from FM Flyby. Enter or watch a fun lip-sync challenge, the Best in Bling contest, and much more. You join the party with Zoom and let the fun begin. With the party in a box, you'll have all the contents to create your own festive backdrop for everyone to see. Plus, mingle and see everyone's bling attire on your Zoom screen. Join CR Gibbs mixologists in making a signature cocktail. Vote on the lip sync challenge performances and best in bling outfits. Be moved by testimonials of Shining Care's mission of compassionate support, expert guidance, and assistance to at-risk elders for safety and well-being. Tickets start at just $25, available at shiningcare.org. Proceeds benefit Shining Care's programs to help at-risk elders in our community.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coach Master is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Master has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coach Master, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coach Master apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Good morning, KCNR, Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You can get a hold of us on 605-4567. And I'm Baron Browning. I'll be your host today. Carl and Linda are off today. This morning we're joined with Rob Burrows and Michelle Kwistoff from the NorCal Veterans Museum. So we appreciate you being here. We've been talking about your newest item that you've added to your arsenal belt, PTSD, and some issues that are going on there, and art. So so far we've gone through and talked about really what it does, how you can get a hold of that. And if you'll repeat the website again so they can register, that'd be great.
Sure. It's NorCalVeteransMuseum.org or O-R-G. NorCalVeteransMuseum.org. The program is Battlefield Expressions PTSD Art Therapy, and it's a program underneath the Homeward Bound Military Family Support System program. When we were out at the airport, we had the museum out at the airport, we had all of these family members coming through, and they were saying, my son, my daughter just got back from Iraq, they got came back from Afghanistan, they're not engaging, they're in the basement, they're drinking more, they're not working, they're not trying to look for a job. And that's the reason we designed the program Homeward Bound, because there was no program in Northern California to reach out to the young veteran coming back from the war zone. Whether it was actually in the zone or just service during the during that time frame. So the global war on terror. There was nothing for veterans from the global war on terror. So we developed Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services because we already knew that there were issues with the spouses when the veteran came back, whether it was man or woman. There was issues with the spouse, and there were issues with the children, with the disconnect because the veteran wasn't connecting back with the children. So there was a loss there. Obviously, if there's issues with the husband and wife, there's issues with the children because it filters down. And now there's all these different things that take place. And so that was why we developed that program. And now that we have had that program going for several years now, we've developed that in 2013. Gosh, it's been 8 years already since we started that program. And now we have Battlefield Expressions, PTSD Art Therapy. This program will continue on in one manner or another once we go past this grant, because we're, now that we've developed this program, we'll utilize the funding from Homeward Bound to encompass this and continue to move on with that. And I think that it's so important for us to be able to have an outlet for our veterans here in Northern California. As you know, we have over 20,000 veterans in the Northern California area, and I'm talking about Tehama County North.
Sure.
20,000 veterans. Our area in California has the largest veterans population per capita in the state of California. Of course, there's veterans in San Diego because of the bases. But these are the veterans who live here. These are the veterans that come back, and they filter into our society, and they don't say anything. They just kind of come back in. They do their job. They try to live their lives, and they struggle. And there's nobody there to help them with that struggle of the integration back in. A lot of times the veteran will do the best they can, come back in, they try to attack it gung-ho, but the civilian world is not the same as the military world. And one of the things that we found is that the military teaches to just drive, 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 don't ask for help, just go, 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 and do the job you have to do. And then when you get back, you're separated, so you have a separation anxiety from your buddies, and you don't have – they teach you how to fight the war and put the uniform on, but they never teach you how to take the uniform off. And sometimes that's my problem. I'm still wearing that uniform 24/7. But I tried to use that as a motivator for helping our veterans in other areas. But other veterans don't have that opportunity. And so that's why these programs are so important, is we're giving them that opportunity to take that deep breath and say, hey, you're home now. Let's help you get some healing and let's get you back engaged in our society.
Well, I think the missing, and you've hit on it a little bit, but I think the missing part is that we're taught that they always have our six. Our buddies always have our six. And then we come back home and there's nobody here.
There's nobody there.
There's nobody there that relates to you. There's nobody there that understands you. And I think this is just another avenue to do that. So we definitely appreciate that. But I know we haven't really got into the statistics of what art does, what art therapy does for PTSD. So if you could give us some numbers, that'd be great.
Well, one of the studies that we were looking at through Walter Reed, which is the National Army Hospital in the United States, Creative Forces is an organization that does different reports and views on different things. Creative Forces reports that 85% of patients at Walter Reed National Medical Center said that art therapy was helpful to the healing of veterans. The network estimates art therapy for PTSD could save more than $1,000 in health care per veteran, or a total of $1.7 billion. So if that's when they're talking about $1.7 billion in savings, they're talking about drugs. They're talking about counseling. They're talking about and I don't mean illicit drugs. I'm talking about medications.
Sure.
Because now all of a sudden, the veteran has another outlet of self-healing through this program versus them just feeding medications down their throat to just kind of get them to the next phase. And I noticed that when I came back, the VA was really good about giving me a drug for this and a drug for that symptom and a drug for this deal. I don't want to be a zombie. I want to have my full mental capability. I'm a pilot, so I can't take those drugs because it takes away from your thinking process as far as being able to fly. And I think part of the problem is that we get some of our younger veterans come back, and all of a sudden they start feeding them all these medications, and now they're walking around as zombies. Now they're not good for anybody. They're good for anything to anybody because they can't think on their own. They can't drive vehicles or whatever else. We've seen where parents have brought the veteran back in, and they're just kind of out there because they're giving them all these mind-altering drugs. And I think that that's wrong for the VA to do that because it's not even a good Band-Aid. It's just kind of let's get them down the road and whatever happens, happens, so they don't have to deal with them. And I really have a tough time with the VA system not taking more time to take care of our veterans that really need that help, especially our younger veterans. This is our next society. These are our next citizens to go. So, and you know that as a leader in the community.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we're hoping that this program is a major it is part of the solution. It's not part of the problem. And that we will have some, we will help some veterans in a great way that they couldn't get help any other way. And we'll make them better, hopefully to make them better citizens in our community. And maybe some better leaders in our community also as they come up, the younger ones, to help take our shoes.
Right.
And because we need them out there. We need them involved. They've been there. They sacrificed. And now it's time for them to be able to be successful and move on in their lives.
Well, it's another tool for them, as you said earlier, that allows them to be expressive with their emotions, yet not taking a substance to quiet the noise.
Right.
So you're releasing the noise through art and allowing it to freely express as we move forward without the medication.
And hopefully it brings a little joy back into their lives.
Yeah, with their family. And a lot of times we get back, right? And we have a family, but we really don't do anything with the family.
Right.
We're sitting there. We're isolated. Even though we're in the same room with all of them, we isolate.
Everybody's on their phone.
Right. And this is really an avenue for them to express themselves and watch their kids express themselves.
No phones allowed while you're painting. No facts are rule. No phones allowed. So, yeah, concentrate on what's going on in your head.
Well, Michelle, we only have another minute, so if you want to wrap up with how to get a hold of you guys, phone numbers,
they can go to
emails.
They can go to our website, the NorCalVeteransMuseum.org, or they can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/piledriver13.
Love that.
And then they can also call us at 530-378-2280. And that's the best way to get a hold of all of us. We can get you registered. We're limiting the class sizes because of COVID, but we plan to have at least enough to be able to cover 200 veterans.
Awesome.
So, and it's completely free. So,
Battlefield Expressions, PTSD Art Therapy. So, Rob and Michelle, I appreciate you guys coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks. We appreciate
being
here.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Free Fire Radio. It's a target-rich environment.
Tells me.
Good morning, KCNR Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We can reach at 605-4567. And I do want to thank Ashley. She's keeping me on track this morning. So, Ashley, you want to give us the weather for the week?
Yeah, we are looking at, if you liked what you saw over the weekends, we're looking at more of that today with mostly cloudy, highs near 61, so a little cooler than we saw Saturday, but a low 41 overnight and pretty much copy-paste the same tomorrow. But we are looking at our next chance of storms coming Wednesday night into Thursday and then Friday with a good chance of showers. Those temperatures will be dropping a little bit for our highs and raising a little bit for the lows, but right around 50 degrees or so. But the next couple of days, all we have in store in the skies are just great sunrises and sunsets.
So if you started your roof repair, you have until Wednesday.
Yes.
Perfect.
Wednesday evening.
Thank you, Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you. All right. God, what a packed weekend, wasn't it, Ashley? I mean, we had so much going on.
Yeah, there's in every direction.
Yes.
Politics and sports and all of that.
It was amazing. So Friday, the Supreme Court ruled that churches could open. They did limit it to 25%. So it could be limited down to, I should say, 25%. And that was a 6-3 ruling. And the reason they ruled that way, they thought it violated the First Amendment, which I definitely agree with.
Oh, yeah.
If you can be in some other places, why can't you be in church on Sunday? So, of course, Saturday night, Governor came out with his colored-tiered system on allowing you to go back to church and how you could do that. So the colored-tiered system, purple and red, is 25% occupancy in churches. And when you get to orange, you can be at 50% occupancy. So you knew the governor was going to come out with something fairly quickly.
But that is also good news for a lot of the restaurants in the area. We're moving out of that purple range, so we should be good for Valentine's Day, which I know is a big day for a lot of local restaurants. So.
Yeah, I'm hearing this week sometime we should get the announcement from to move from purple down to red. So
yeah, and when that does, we should have a beautiful Valentine's Day.
Yes, we're excited to have that happen. I know our restaurants that have been suffering will be mighty pleased to allow patrons to come back in for Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah, I ate at a restaurant in town that is one of my favorites, and part of the environment is such a big experience as far as going to this particular restaurant. And we ate outside, and it was a pleasant day, but it's still not the same.
I agree.
So looking forward to being inside all of my favorite restaurants in town soon.
Yeah, and then we had a Super Bowl yesterday.
Yeah.
And we had a score of 31-9.
Yeah, it got pretty well trounced, didn't they?
Well, it just shows that the older we get, the wiser we are.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense to me.
Absolutely. Yes. And the governor, of course, came out with his tiered system on that not more than three families, I believe, could be together for yesterday. So I don't know who abided by that, but we always look forward to the governor's numbers.
Yeah. And
I say that sarcastically.
Yeah. I'm not sure where these numbers come from. It's kind of the ether he has decided. But we're allowed to have more people to celebrate the Super Bowl than Christmas or Thanksgiving.
The great news about the court ruling when it came to churches, that also allows for weddings and funerals.
Mm.
So that is actually a big deal because I know a lot of funerals were put on hold during this whole pandemic, along with numerous weddings that people went and did other things with. So we know that there'll be those that are getting married will be super excited, and those that want to put their loved one to rest will finally get to do that with some patrons, up to 25% at this point.
Yeah. I had several people pass right at the beginning of this pandemic in my world, and I was part of the media team for one of them, so the rest of the family can watch digitally, and then the other one I couldn't attend at all. So it's a weird time, definitely. It's like to kibosh weddings and funerals. It's such a huge part of the whole process in helping people emotionally in a time that people are already fairly fragile emotionally.
Yeah, I think people are at their wits' end, and you can see it through social media, people's posts. I think people are just frustrated. We have an increase in child abuse, spousal abuse, rape. All of those things have gone up.
And
almost 30%.
Underreported a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
So
I know One Safe Place just came out with some numbers last week, I do believe, early last week or the week before. But they just exactly said what the national media has been saying for a little while, that we're just cooped up and we're frustrated. And,
mm-hmm.
and those things come out in ways that unfortunately hurt our loved ones.
Oh, yeah. And it's not good for humans in general, I think, are meant to bond, to be in this society. And so it's very difficult to stay separated for especially long periods of time. You look throughout history of people who disappear from the world and then reunite. They're never the same coming back.
That's right.
We need people.
I think we just talked about PTSD in the last mm-hmm. segment. And I think there's going to be long-term unintended consequences of PTSD coming out of COVID for sure.
Yeah, I have a friend, or my uncle is a respiratory therapist in Central California. And every time I see him on the family video chats that we do weekly, he just looks exhausted. And he said there's definitely going to be PTSD from the people in the hospitals after caring for COVID patients and all of this trauma. He thinks it's going to be a mass exodus from the industry once this blows over.
The healthcare industry.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I did see that President Biden came out with his within his 100-day plan of opening the schools back up safely. And I know a lot of schools in California, and I've talked to a few of them, not just in our area, but in other areas, that have gone and done their due diligence to try to get their schools open through ventilation systems, through other means of getting kids back safely. So it'll be interesting to see what his numbers that he comes out with, whether that's 50% kids in the classroom, 25. I know my daughter goes to Foothill High School, mm-hmm. and they do split. So she goes to school on Tuesday, Friday. The other segment goes on Monday and Thursday. And that's how they keep their roughly 50% within their classroom. Good news for Foothill, I don't believe this year that we've shut down at all with that segment. Now,
oh, good.
I do understand that my daughter's frustrated, and I know other mm-hmm. kids are frustrated.
Definitely.
With only getting to see half their friends at a time. Because they, of course, we're human. We want to be around all of our friends mm-hmm. at the same time. But I think it is an avenue that's definitely worked for Foothill. Some of the other schools that have gone down or gone out and went back 5 days a week are constantly in school, out of school for 3 weeks,
yeah.
in school, out of school for 3 weeks. I know Junction just went, they were out of school. They went back for 2 days, and now they're out again. And that's really hard because if you're a working parent, you plan on your kid going to school so you can have your job. So we appreciate that the Foothill's done a good job of doing that. So, and I know other schools are trying their hardest to get all of our kids in school, and I definitely want all of our kids back to school. I think that for their own psychology and psychological well-being that they need to be back in school for sure. So, also yesterday, RPD officer involved shooting at the Cypress Street Bridge. The call came in a male waving a gun on the Cypress Street Bridge. When officers arrived, they contacted the three individuals, two male and a female. Two males did not have a weapon. Female was off to the side. She reached into her waistband and waved a pistol. At that time, officers fired their weapons. And the lady individual went down. Unfortunately, when they got over to move the weapon away, it was not a real weapon. It was a fake, but it looked absolutely real.
Yeah, it didn't have any of the markings on it, that like the orange tip and all of that, that lets officers know there's no actual harm.
And I just want you to know that from me to those officers, our hearts go out to you. It's never easy psychologically to take another person's life. So we definitely, and the individual that was unfortunately passed away, our hearts go out to their families as well. So it's never an easy time for anybody involved. So that's definitely unfortunate. On other news, as far as the state goes, looking at the recall, Newsom stands at 1.3 million signatures. They're looking to get at 1.8. They need 1.2 to turn in. But they want to get to a buffer of 1.8 million signatures, so they have that buffer in case individuals that signed were not actually not registered to vote, or they signed more than once. So that is getting closer. I know it's gaining a lot of hype through the media in different cities around the United States, and not just what I'm seeing, and not just where we're a conservative. I think that's all across the U.S. All right, we're going to 7:59. We're going to take a small break, and we'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Efforts to get youngsters back in the classroom appear to be gaining momentum, at least in a couple of big city school districts, one of them, Chicago.
Mayor Lori Lightfoot says a tentative agreement has been reached with the teachers' union over COVID-19 safety protocols. That could avert a strike in the nation's third largest school district. However, the Chicago teachers' union isn't calling it an agreement yet, saying it has to be approved by members. Both sides have been negotiating for months over a plan to gradually bring back students in the roughly 340,000 student district. The schools went remote nearly a year ago. I'm Shelley Adler.
And San Francisco Unified School District employee unions announcing a tentative deal to reopen the public schools in that city. The Board of Education expected to take up the proposal tomorrow. The $1.9 trillion Biden COVID relief package remains a subject of much debate. Treasury Secretary Yellen contends the president's proposal could restore full employment by next year. Republicans, including Senator Roger Wicker, argue for a smaller but still substantial plan.
I think Republicans are willing to spend between $600 and $700 billion more.
Senator Wicker on ABC's This Week. Former President Trump's historic and, according to Republicans, unconstitutional impeachment trial scheduled to begin tomorrow in the Senate. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers down the Kansas City Chiefs 31-9 in Super Bowl 55, a record seventh championship for Tampa Bay quarterback Tom Brady, his first Super Bowl win in Tampa. Stocks are rallying on Wall Street this morning. Right now, the Dow up 162 points, the NASDAQ ahead 100 points, and the S&P is up 19. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1335. Rack animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Rescuers in northern India working to reach 37 trapped power plant workers. Part of a Himalayan glacier broke off, unleashing a wall of water and debris that killed at least 18 people and trapped those workers.
More than 2,000 members of the military, paramilitary groups and police have been taking part in search and rescue operations in the northern state of Uttarakhand after Sunday's flood, which destroyed one dam, damaged another and washed away homes downstream. Officials say the focus is now on saving more than 36 workers who are stuck inside a tunnel at one of the affected hydropower plants. A senior official says the tunnel is filled with debris, which has come from a gushing river, and machines are being used to clear the way. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Israel's prime minister pleading not guilty as his corruption trial resumes in Jerusalem. News and analysis at townhall.com. President Reagan's longtime Secretary of State George Shultz has died. the age of 100.
Schultz had been the oldest surviving former cabinet member of any administration. He died Saturday at his home on the campus of Stanford University, according to the Hoover Institution, a think tank where he was a distinguished fellow. Schultz was Labor Secretary and Treasury Secretary under President Nixon before spending more than 6 years as Reagan's Secretary of State. Schultz negotiated the first ever treaty to reduce the size of the Soviet Union's ground-based nuclear arsenals. The 1987 accord was a historic attempt to begin to reverse the nuclear arms race. I'm Julie Walker.
The Biden administration set to announce this week it will re-engage with the much-maligned UN Human Rights Council that former President Trump withdrew from close to 3 years ago. And on Wall Street, the Dow up 146. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, KCNR, Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We can be reached at 605-4567. And I'm Baron Browning, standing in this morning for Carl and Linda Bott. This morning for our 8 o'clock segment, from Shasta College, we have Marketing Director Peter Griggs and Athletic Director Mike Mari. Mike is joining us via phone this morning. So, Mike, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
All right. I hear this is the first time in your roughly 5 years that we've been able to get you all by yourself. Well, Peter's actually in studio, so not quite by yourself.
Yeah, gotcha. Yep, first time.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you being on. Peter, thanks for joining us this morning.
You bet. Thank you very much for having us.
So this is a Shasta College Hour, and Mike is our athletic director. And so, Mike, I'm just going to trounce right in with a few different questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Mike, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been at Shasta College. I think this is going on my seventh year.
Oh, seven. Peter was wrong. I apologize.
Sorry, Mike.
How dare you, Peter. Before coming here, I was at another community college just 3 hours away, and spent 10 years there. So I've been in the system for a little while with community colleges.
Perfect. And how did you become involved with Shasta College Athletics?
Well, I was at Mendocino College prior to Shasta, and we would play Shasta in football, and I was a football coach also. And I loved the area. Every time I came here, I was like, man, Reading's great. My folks retired here, and it was just like a natural fit for me personally. And so when the opportunity arose to come here, I couldn't not apply. It's too good of an opportunity.
Perfect. Well, just as a little side note, I called a few games, football games, on the Shasta Sports Network.
Oh, okay.
A couple years ago. So
yeah.
Always a lot of fun. You have a great football program that delivers a lot of great kids that get to move on to great four-year colleges. So
we
appreciate your programs for sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Mike, what should students and student-athletes know about sports programs at Shasta College?
Well, I think right now, just the way the world is set up with this pandemic, it's pretty unique in that we're actually doing things on campus. We're planning to compete this spring, and when you look around the state, many of our sister colleges decided not to do so. So we've taken a lot of time and planning and resources to put us in a situation where we can get our kids out on the field, which is really, it's been an amazing task, and we're doing it really to provide an opportunity for our players to play. And the easy choice would have been to say, we're just not doing this. Just wait. We'll see you next fall. But we want to give our kids the best chance to get on the field. And then, you know, that playing is part of these students' plan for success. Like, a lot of them are not going to go to class unless they're playing. And so it's twofold. We're giving them the opportunity to be on the field, but that's also going to get these kids through it and educated so that they can transfer.
So just a little off script here, just a little bit. So are they practicing now?
Yeah, so right now what we've done is we've built, when this first happened, we made an outdoor weight room. And so all of our athletes can condition. Official start date for practice for our Golden Valley Conference is actually today. So prior to today, we've just been conditioning and lifting.
Okay. And so is the schedule modified for those sports? Because you have, as you just said earlier, a few minutes ago, you have some schools that aren't going to participate at all.
Right. So the CCAA, which is our governing body, reduced the schedule, and they've worked closely with the NC2A and NAI so that this first, the spring one they're calling it, which is like your traditional fall sports, won't count for eligibility. So a kid that plays right now isn't going to lose a year. Their clock will start for their transfer as far as D1, D2, but it won't count as a year. So it's basically like a free spring for them to play.
Okay, so they end up with a fifth year, potentially.
Right, but the schedule is reduced greatly. Like football, it typically will have a 10-game season and then possibly a bowl game. They have four games, right? And that was the result of, you know, who's even available to play. That's going to be the first thing that makes the decision for you. And then once we decided that, it was designing these small cohorts of who you're going to compete against and then just creating a rotation for games.
And are you guys doing it very similar to with a COVID protocol as the NFL or the NBA where you're testing on a regular basis? And
Our emergency operations team, it's amazing what they've done, but they have protocols in place. We get tested every day. Everything that you see other sports leagues doing. Now, we don't have the resources of the NBA to go to Disney World and live in a bubble.
Sure,
But we're doing as much as we possibly can.
Awesome. And so your division has come up with those guidelines and issued them down to all the different colleges?
Well, each college is tasked with deciding how they're going to do it.
Okay.
You know, it really falls back to wherever you're at geographically, you're going to have to answer to that Department of Health. So, Clark County, you look at them, like Foothill College wanted to play football, and early on in these discussions, when we were discussing this as a state, they can't even get on campus. So that was just like, it doesn't matter what their plan was, wasn't going to matter because the Department of Health already said you're not playing. So, you can make your own plans, but you're going to have to get reviewed by someone, you know.
Absolutely. So, when should student athletes start thinking about contacting their coaches?
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged deal there. We're actively recruiting, right? All of our coaches are looking in our local area for the right kids. But it doesn't hurt for anyone who's interested in playing to start looking around, because you just never know. How things are going to play out. Years ago, in another lifetime, I remember I had a kid at Little Trinity High School in Weaverville, and I met him at a camp, and I couldn't believe him. You know, he was like 6'5". I thought he was someone's dad when he walked out of the locker room. I was like, oh, no, this guy's going to hurt someone. Turns out he was a sophomore in high school. And had I not met him at that camp, and I had not stayed in contact with him, I don't know where he would have went, because he was in such a remote area that he didn't get exposure. Now, he ended up going to a Division I school, Arkansas State, started there for 2 years, played in 2 bowl games, had a chance in the NFL. But had he not made contact, had I not met him that sophomore year and stayed in touch, who knows what would have happened. Because when you get into those more remote areas, a lot of four-year schools don't have the resources or the time to really recruit those student-athletes.
Absolutely. So we're about a minute and a half away, Mike, and just stay on the line when we get done. What are some of the advantages of playing for Shasta College and then transferring as compared to a four-year college?
Yeah, so there's a couple things to think of. You know, my own personal experience, when I, you know, a million years ago came out of high school, and a four-year school spoke to me. And so to me it was like, well, I'm going to go there, you know, because it's the biggest school you're talking to. As I continued through my career, I ended up going into the Arena Football League after college, and that was a melting pot of rosters, right? I'd have, you know, guys that were in the NFL that got kicked, that bounced down. My backup started for the University of Nebraska, and he won 3 national titles. And he kept joking with me, like, how'd you go to a Division II school? And I kept thinking to myself, how did you end up at Nebraska? Here's the point of the story, because he was my backup. I didn't know about community colleges, and I didn't realize the opportunity they provide for students to transfer. And so when you see kids taking, you know, scholarship offers to smaller schools, they need to remember that those smaller schools may still want them after playing 2 years at a community college. However, they may end up going to a far larger school on a better scholarship. That's the risk they take. They're invested in themselves, thinking maybe they can go to a bigger school, knowing that odds are if that doesn't work out, they're probably going to still have that opportunity at that smaller school.
Good point, Mike. Good point. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. Mike, if you'll hold on with us, we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Sure.
Want to have the most unique, memorable Valentine's weekend? Shining Care presents The Shining Affair. Saturday, February 13th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. The best part? It's happening from the comfort and safety of your own home. It's an elegant, virtual evening of interactive entertainment, including live music from FM Flyby. Enter or watch a fun lip-sync challenge, the Best in Bling contest, and much more. You join the party with Zoom and let the fun begin. With the party in a box, you'll have all the contents to create your own festive backdrop for everyone to see. Plus, mingle and see everyone's bling attire on your Zoom screen. Join CR Gibbs mixologists in making a signature cocktail. Vote on the lip sync challenge performances and best in bling outfits. Be moved by testimonials of Shining Care's mission of compassionate support, expert guidance, and assistance to at-risk elders for safety and well-being. Tickets start at just $25, available at shiningcare.org. Proceeds benefit Shining Care's programs to help at-risk elders in our community.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Good morning, KCNR. Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We can be reached at 605-4567, and I'm Baron Browning. Carl and Linda have the day off. And we're joined this morning with Shasta College, and we're with Marketing Director Peter Griggs, and Athletic Director Mike Murray. And Mike is joining us via phone this morning. And we've had our first segment. We've gone through a lot of different stuff when it really comes to a little bit about Mike and then a lot about what really the athletes can expect this year at Shasta College during another our second year of COVID-19. So, Mike and Peter, thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
So, Mike, we've gone a little bit through really what to expect up to this point with some of the COVID protocols at Shasta College, the reduced schedule for sports this year, and really a waiver for this season due to the fact that it's going to be such a shortened season. But really, is there a lot of hype about from your athletes about being able to be able to play this year?
I think that yes, these kids have been waiting to do this, right? So for a lot of them, you know, you look at a freshman in college right now, they basically had the end of their senior year of high school taken away from them, and they've just been stuck in this holding pattern. So I finally now they're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, right? They're able to lift, condition, practice. They're seeing a game schedule. So we're trying to slowly creep towards some kind of normalcy for those kids. So, yes, they are very eager to play.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. My daughter goes to Foothill, and she's a swimmer. So last year, no swim. I think we went to a couple practices last year, if I can recall right, and then it ended with that. And so there's some frustration there from the kids' standpoint because they really just want to participate.
It just happened so fast, you know, and I didn't see it coming. You know, I feel like we were all just kind of watching this unfold, and then just like in the blink of an eye, it was like everything was stopped, you know. And you know, you can't predict these things, but for these kids, I think it's been a tough deal, you know, especially if you're a senior in high school. You're right towards the end, and what a strange way to graduate.
So a little bit in a different direction, last segment we talked about PTSD. Do you see any PTSD issues arising because of the last year not being able to, one, go to school or limited to go to school, and then, two, not being able to play sports?
I haven't. I mean, that may occur. I kind of feel like an athletic is a release. So,
sure.
Well, honestly, if someone wants to do this, no one's forcing them to play, then that's a privilege, right? So
absolutely.
I think you put so much effort and time into whatever sport you're playing that it's going to be more of a relief to get out there and play.
Yeah, very good point, Mike. Thank you. Hey, a question going back to the last segment, which we ended with really talking about the kids and going to a junior college versus a four-year college. Do you help the kids transfer to a four-year college with you?
Yes, absolutely. That's the whole point of this thing. You know, you can lose every game, and if all of your sophomores transfer, you're doing something right, right? We want kids to transfer. We don't want to bring kids into our program and have them hanging out here 5 years later in the weight room. The deal is you come here, you go to class, you go to practice, and then you transfer. That's the whole mission of what we're doing. So, yes, we absolutely help them. There's a ton of colleges out there. You know, we send our sophomore list to every school in the country. I think it's like well over 1,000. So we're very proactive in trying to get our kids out.
Let's see. Do you talk to four-year coaches about your players? We just talked about that a little bit. In regards to recruitment, do you send videos of the players? Yeah. I mean, what really goes into detail about how you help those kids get to the next level?
So now it's become so easy with all of the digital options that we have, all of our films online, so we can quickly get game film out to four-year schools, quickly get transcripts to a school. So we try to make it as easy as possible for a four-year school to sign a kid, you know, because they're talking to us, but they're also going to be talking to other community colleges if they're looking for a certain position in a certain sport. So you need to be first in the race to get that four-year school, everything they need. If you do that, both tend to come around a lot more often because they know you're reliable and they can get answers quickly from you.
So from a four-year college really down to a junior college, are your coaches and you actively recruiting in the high schools to come to Shasta College outside of our area?
Well, no. So the CCAA has very strict rules when it comes to recruiting. So we cannot recruit out of state. The whole state of California is open to us, though.
Okay.
So what used to happen, and it was kind of a slow evolution, it used to be that you had just your local area, right? And they had it mapped out. Here are the school, or the high schools you can talk to face-to-face. Now, if a kid makes first contact outside of your district, then you can talk to that kid. You can recruit them. The state made a push to just open up all of California, so every community college coach can talk to any kid in California. The one caveat to that was you cannot be traveling around the state and actively going into high schools. So you can call someone, use any electronic means you want, but if they're outside of your district, you cannot go visit them. So the reason being, they were terrified that schools with higher resources would just go throughout the state and take everyone's kids. You know, they kept thinking of, you know, Mount San Antonio is going to send all their coaches from L.A. all the way up to almost Oregon, and they get to hang out in hotels recruiting everyone. And that's not permitted. Now, out-of-state recruiting is you cannot initiate first contact. The student-athlete has to make first contact with the school, and then you can recruit them. So, no, we cannot fly around the country recruiting folks. All we can do is respond when an out-of-state kid makes an inquiry.
So, as an athletic director, what would you say the percentage of out-of-state athletes is contacting you?
Oh, geez. I wouldn't know the percentage. I know that when I was still coaching, I remember watching this happen when everyone started getting their own web pages. And all of a sudden, there was this wave of first contacts, and it just started to happen all throughout the state. And I'm speaking, you know, football specific. I think what happened was California Community College System has had more football programs than the rest of the country. And so kids out of state realized that if they come to our state, there's a lot of opportunities for them to play and also get a scholarship, because four-year schools were coming to our system because there were so many programs that they could review. Now, from a financial standpoint, if you think about it, you send your coaching staff to California Community Colleges, they're going to get far more contacts for less funds rather than if you send one to an Arizona system and then one to Minnesota. There's smaller. There's not as many schools. So I think the out-of-state kids started to learn this, and then it's a wave. You know, if a kid makes contact with us, they're going to make contact probably with 30 other schools that day, right? Because it's just an online questionnaire. There's not a lot to it. So the kids are proactive because they don't have options at home, and I don't blame them. You know, right. If you're in Oregon or Washington, you didn't qualify by the NCAA standards, and you're not getting recruited by University of Washington, but you still want to play and go to school, you're going to go the community college route. There's nothing wrong with that.
So have you seen an uptick in student-athletes reaching out to junior colleges since California went to the ban of the first 2 years are free?
No, I haven't.
No?
I haven't. I haven't heard of that throughout the state either.
Okay. It's always interesting to find out if was that a help or what really is transpiring with the first 2 years free tuition. So,
right. Well, for out-of-state kids, it wouldn't matter. They're still paying out-of-state tuition. So
sure. Yeah, I was just talking about in-state kids. Do you have a good success rate for student-athletes to pick up and receive scholarships to a four-year program?
Yes. We have a pretty solid infrastructure here. You know, we have a counselor who's dedicated just to athletics, and he's in our hallway, which not every school has. So that helps tremendously, because now we don't have kids falling through the cracks that don't have an ed plan, or they don't have a point person for their class schedule, right? We have that person, you know, who's readily available, and he's proactive. So that's a huge feather in our cap, because it doesn't matter how good you are at your sport. If you don't have transcripts, you're not going anywhere. That's just the bottom line. A million years ago with NC2A, it used to be, you know, four-year school would see a kid's game film. Oh, I like that kid. And they'd start thinking about offering them. And the transcript thing was kind of a side note. Oh, yeah, let me see his transcripts also. Whereas now it's the other way around. They'll say, oh, geez, I like this kid's size, you know, whatever position he's playing. Let me see his transcripts now. And then they'll watch film. Because if the transcripts don't match and they can't get them in, there's no point watching that film.
Interesting. So has there been any changes to what is required by a four-year college as far as in the transcript process during COVID-19? I mean, I guess my point is, Is it less restrictive or more restrictive or the same?
No, I don't even know yet. I think that they're still figuring that out because, you know, Dancy Toy is maneuvering this just like we are. And, yeah, the requirements, I don't know if they're going to change. I doubt it. Dancy Toy is pretty regimented about that. They're going to stick to academic standards. And they have evidence to back that up. Years ago, they raised the minimum GPA, and they did it because there was a study on men's basketball for Division I only, and they did some kind of uptick in the requirement, and all the kids matched it. Like, they met the requirement. So they had evidence to back that up. So I don't see the NCAA changing the requirements, but time will tell with that.
Well, yeah, you don't want to move a kid up just to do it with a potential failure. I mean, that's
right,
what you don't want to see, for sure.
Yep.
But I would tend to agree. If I want to play a sport that I'm really good at, I'm going to excel so I can continue to play, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense.
Totally.
Hey, Mike and Peter, we got to take a break. We'll be right back in about 3 minutes. Thanks.
All right.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, during the Ultimate Sleep Number event, save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing on all smart beds, only for a limited time. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Good morning, KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Free Fire Radio, your talk radio. We can be reached at 605-4567. And we're joined this morning by Shasta College. We got Peter Griggs, the marketing director, and our athletic director, Mike Mari. Mike, are you still with us?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your patience with me and all my different questions going through this.
Yeah, for sure.
Doing a great job, by the way.
Thanks.
I'm a true fan of your football program, by the way. I think it's fun to watch. It's always exciting. Your recruits seem like your athletes seem like they're just having an amazing time playing and going to school at Shasta College.
Yeah, it's playing any community college sport, if it's done right, it's a life changer. You know, for a lot of these folks, this is their chance. You know, they may have gotten looked over in high school or had situations that were holding them back, and this really can be their chance, you know. So it's an awesome opportunity.
So I'm going to jump back for a second, Mike. You talked in the beginning about when you were coaching. So at what point in your career, personally, did you think about moving from coaching into being the athletic director?
It's interesting. When I was done playing, my first coaching job was at Little St. Bernard's High School in Eureka. And a couple of years later, I became the head coach and the athletic director, and I was teaching classes. And when I left there from Mendocino College, I had told myself I will never be an athletic director again. And I remember joking and saying, never. That's something I've done. Great. It's over with. When I started coaching at Mendocino, and then I went to Humboldt State, and I came back, and I had this older assistant coach who had won a couple state championships, and he was a retired guy, and he'd been in the system forever. And the athletic director job was available, and I remember he was talking about the impact you can make in different roles. And it set home that your contact will be different when you're an admin, but the decisions you make can benefit far more student-athletes because there's higher numbers. So that's what kind of pushed me towards it was, yes, I'm not on the sidelines anymore, which is very difficult at first, but now decisions that are made can benefit more than just a football program. So that's what nudged me in this direction.
That's a good story, Mike. Good story. Hey, Mike, do you encourage your students to play multiple sports, or do you try to gear them towards really where they're at?
Well, you know, I think that if you can do it and play multiple sports, that's great. Do it, because you only live once, and you don't know what sport. I mean, if you're athletic enough to play multiple sports, that's giving you more options to transfer. What you have to be careful of is, you know, overuse, injury, things like that. So it has been done. I've seen it. It can be tough, but I do think it also helps from a marketing standpoint when you're getting a kid's name out there to four-year schools. You know, I know when I was at Humboldt State, our head coach loved to hear any kid we were recruiting their track times. So there's a marketing piece to that. I had a couple kids when I was coaching football that would play basketball after the season. And I was very hesitant at first because I was worried about injury and this and that. But I realized it was really a great marketing thing when before your school was looking at a certain kid at a certain position. And then, by the way, that night they could go watch them play in the gym because they play basketball also. So it can be done, but it has to be done carefully.
Interesting. Let's see. Can students who've never played before walk on?
It can happen, yes. You know, it's not easy, for sure. But, yeah, there's an opportunity there. It just depends, you know. What you see on TV is not as easy as what you think it is. You know? So everyone watches that, can do that. And then you get out there, you're like, oh, no, I can't. it just depends. You know, there could be a lot of reasons why someone never played before. But, yeah, it can be done. You know, I had a kid once that he was very athletic and he looked the part. And in, like, week three, I remember he was asking me why I was calling a certain coverage on defense. And they were all colors, you know. And after the game, I was just kind of, I was thinking more about, like, why would a defensive end be asking me why we're running, you know, like, cover two? You know, I was like, why would he ask me that? It was really weird. And he was like, I was just curious. I'm just curious, you know. And I was like, well, don't be curious during a game. That's annoying. I'm kind of joking with him, right? Because why would you ask me a question in the middle of a drive? Like, it was one of the weirdest things I've ever experienced. And so he figured it out. But and as the season went on, I realized he was asking a lot of questions that didn't make sense. So the season got over, and he told me, hey, because I didn't recruit him. He was just there when I arrived. It was my first year. And he took a chance, told the head coach he didn't have any film. He'd never played football before. And I was like, oh, man, that explains these oddball questions you're asking me constantly. That kid ended up going to the University of Kentucky, and he played for Rich Brooks, who was the Oregon coach. And this guy went and played in the SEC for 2 years on a full ride, played in two Motor City Bowl games, and he'd never played football before. So it can be done. Now, the part to this story is he was also 6'4", 275. He could run.
There's way more to this story.
He could move, right? But he was as green as you could imagine. He couldn't get in a stance. There's a lot he had to learn. But he took a chance on himself, and it worked out. You know, he got his degree. He got a scholarship. I mean, it was a great story. But those situations, those stories are pretty rare, you know, but it can happen.
Yeah, so along the lines of that same thing, you know, you go and you spend, you know, your grade school, junior high school, virtually in the same type of program because you're all preparing to go to the same high school. By the way, I'm probably dating myself because it might not do that these days. But and then I'm going off to either junior college or four-year college with a totally different mindset. What do you tell your athletes when they're coming into your program to really minimize the effect that they had in whatever they learned at the high school level?
Yeah, it's obviously a step up, right? So not everyone can do this. And the longer you play, the more folks you'll see that can't make that step, right? So that's just the natural evolution of athletics. The further you go, the harder it is. You have to be coachable. You know, coaches have schemes, and they're not necessarily going to care what you learned in high school. If you're here, they think you're a fit, and you're going to have to fit into our situation, right?
Yep.
Now, coaches that are good are going to run schemes that fit the kids that they have. So it's kind of a two-way street.
Oh, so you're getting into the coaches are really looking for those athletes that fit into the scheme they're already running.
Oftentimes, yes. I mean, you're never going to turn down just if you see someone who's just very athletic. You know, you can make those kids succeed. But, yeah, you're looking for certain body types that play certain spots, you know.
Yeah, it was a little bit of shock going from high school to college for sure. But I would tell you bigger challenge was going from college into the Marine Corps. It was a much bigger challenge.
I can imagine that.
So we talked a little bit about COVID-19 a little bit, and obviously it's prevented sports from having competitions last year. How did you work with your athletes, or what programs did you work around to really keep those athletes at their prime now that you're able to come back with a little bit of competition or a little bit of games?
Yeah, I think the whole country got hit with this because when everyone stopped operations, you had athletes just at home, and you know, you have to be careful that they are doing things safely, right? I saw with social media, you know, kids making squat racks out of farm tractor tires and pieces of steel they found. You want to use some caution with that. We were lucky that we were given access to our campus, and we have an outdoor weight room. So it was very regimented, but starting last August, we were able to let our kids start lifting on campus under the supervision of our coaches. You know, our coaches kept contact with all their teams just to keep their rosters intact, keep these guys on track. So we're lucky in that we had that access. Many schools did not.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched any of the Super Bowl yesterday, but I caught a little piece of, through social media anyway, that Tom Brady actually got a ticket for throwing the ball outside in whatever town he lives in.
Oh, no way. I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was on yesterday. So I don't think it matters who you are, depending on where you live. If you're told not to go outside, you're not to go outside. So that makes life a little more difficult, especially when you're a high school athlete getting ready to go into college. This hits and the training programs that you had. Did you send out videos? What did you send to your athletes from the coaching standpoint, the things they could do at home?
Each coach had their classes converted to an online shell, so they could put any content they wanted in there to stay with their players. So I know some made videos that had certain lifting routines to do. Others used instructional content for their sport. So it varied sport to sport.
Okay. And is there any rules when it comes to junior college in regards to how much the athletes can practice? Or is there anything, any guidelines with that?
Yeah.
When you're in the off-season, sorry.
Yes. So pre-COVID, the whole system had a 350-hour limitation. So you take a fall sport, their fall season of sport was going to burn that first 175 hours of contact. And then the rest of the year, you had 175 hours to use.
Gotcha.
You could use it however you wanted, whether that's burning them all in the spring or using some in spring, some in summer. You could be flexible there, but that was the limit. And the reason that the CCA set those numbers was that it was in, I think, the 2008 or 9 crash. They wanted to have less units being completed for conditioning classes. So they set those limits so that students had more time for other classes.
Perfect. Hey, Mike, we're going to take a break. Join us in about 3 minutes.
Okay.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Good morning, KCNR Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we could be reached at 605-4567. And again, this morning we're joined with Shasta College Marketing Director Peter Griggs, which we have not let Peter talk too much, but that's okay. Mike is, I won't say more interesting, but because I don't want to offend Peter, but...
oh, no, Mike's definitely the more interesting one here.
Athletic Director Mike Murray. Mike, I so appreciate you allowing me to ask you so many questions about this, but I think there's a lot of our student athletes, and Peter and I were just talking off the air about some of those circumstances. But I think there's a lot of student athletes, especially in the high school world, that are trying to figure out their path, their road for next year as we come to the end of their high school season. So I'll jump in with my next question, and Peter and I were just talking a little bit about that off the air. There was a story out in the last few days about an athlete here in California who got was up in the top five, I'll say, in his sport. He got no look from any colleges at all and no offers. He posted on social media. It got shared, retweeted, all the stuff that happens on social media to the point where a college reached out over the weekend and offered him a full-ride scholarship. But getting back to my point of, what are you telling students, or what can you share with us that they can listen to in order to those kids that are at California high schools that have not played last year and now will not play this year? What would you tell them in regards to being a student athlete coming into your college?
Yeah, they've been through a lot, and I think that they have to take this situation and turn it into a positive. And what I mean by this is that, yes, there's some adversity here, right? They were put in a tough spot that was out of their control. But very often in life, that's going to happen to you, right? They used to always say this to the defense when I was the defensive coordinator. You have to embrace adversity, right? You're put in a bad situation. Oh, we turned it over. It's first and goal. Were you going to run out there and just let them score because you feel bad and you got put in a bad spot?
Kansas City
go
did.
Out there and take exactly, right? Or are you going to take advantage of this opportunity and be the hero, right?
Yep.
I think when you can flip that in your mind, you can use this as motivation, right? So you get passed over, no one's looking at you, right? You think you're better than that, and four-year schools aren't giving you any attention. Well, go to community college and prove them wrong, right? They'll certainly be giving you plenty of attention if you're that good, but you have to use it as motivation.
You know, I think you hit it right on the head, exactly where I was going and what I was thinking. If you're looking to go to a four-year college and you're in the California high school system, look at a junior college because that will give you that time, those couple of years to retool, retrain, and move on and potentially go on to a four-year college that you potentially didn't have the opportunity due to COVID-19. Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be weird the next few years because not everyone's getting film, not everyone's playing. So there's going to be some transition, right? But that can all play out naturally. It's up to them to just be motivated. If you prepare correctly and you do what you're told, it's going to work out for you.
Well, I think even given so that, you know, you now get to go to a junior college at little to no cost other than housing expenses and some food and stuff.
Right.
But your cost is minimal in comparison. It's that opportunity where you can go to a junior college like Shasta College and actually make a name for yourself and then with your help and the help of your coaches move on.
Absolutely.
We've heard that you may be coming competing soon. Is that only in certain sports, or...?
Yeah. So the state divided the spring into two seasons. There's a spring one and a spring two. So spring one is all your traditional fall sports. And as it stands right now, we have competition starting in March. Essentially, spring one's going to run through March and a little bit of April. And spring two will be starting shortly after that. Now, the spring two sports are your traditional spring sports. And their schedule hasn't been developed yet. The state hasn't decided if they're going to reduce the number of contests because last spring when we all left, the spring two kids were given back a year, right? They only played a handful of games, so
sure.
The season didn't count. Right now, the NC2A is not saying that they're going to get this year free either. So it's not like they're going to get two free years right now. That's as of right now. So that could change as we get closer, but that part's out of our hands. So
we're
waiting on that.
Okay. As you continue to condition, train, and potentially compete, is there anything that you can help take extra steps with your athletes to be healthy and really stay far away as they can from any potential COVID effects?
Right. So we, we have a whole testing protocol for how you even get on campus, and we have cohorts, so we follow all of the COVID guidelines. I think the biggest thing that's been stressed by our coaches to our players is that you can do everything right on campus, and then if you don't do the same things right off campus, it's all for nothing because you could just spread COVID, and then we're going to have programs shut down. So they have to be very, very careful what they're doing when they're away from us.
Oh, good point. Very good point. So what's on the horizon for Shasta College, given the current situation?
Well, I mean, we're planning to play this spring, you know. It's a daunting task with everything that's been happening. And, you know, we want to get through the spring, give these kids an opportunity to play, go to class, and really have our eye on next fall. You know, let's get back to some kind of normal pattern, right? That's our hope, you know. It's out of our hands in some parts, but we want to play. And a lot of our counterparts aren't doing this right now. So we're doing everything we can to give our kids a chance with really the idea that by next fall we're back into a regular cycle of athletics, hopefully.
So with the spring one and spring two, is there any sports that Shasta College is not going to do this year?
We are not wrestling due to the fact that there was only a couple other schools that opted in, and they were so far away that we couldn't travel to them. The soccer teams are not playing. I think that's it for spring one right now.
And the soccer's the same thing? They couldn't get enough schools to participate?
Yeah, there was only a few that wanted to do it.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. We tried, but...
Well, yeah. All you can do is try. So, what do you tell those athletes? What's the mindset on the with the wrestling and no soccer? What do you tell those athletes?
Well, we tried to opt in. You don't feel sorry for yourself. You can still train and prepare for next fall. Because really, this is just a glorified spring practice, right? If the year doesn't count, it's just like having scrimmages. So. Just prepare for fall. That's all you can do. It's out of your hands. Don't feel sorry for yourself.
And Mike, lastly, we only have about a minute left, but lastly, how do you navigate student athletes when it comes to their grade, their GPA? How do you navigate that and sports?
You mean from a student athlete standpoint?
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
Or athletic director to the student athlete.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that we talk about when we first get them here is that if you don't have transcripts, you're not leaving. So there's no point putting all this time into the weight room, conditioning, in your sport, and doing all of that. And if you're not going to class, there's no point. You're going nowhere. You'll be hanging out here still taking classes. So typically athletes are fairly motivated to go to class because they came here with a mission, right? They came because they wanted to play. They want a scholarship. So there's already a goal in their mind. So now it's just a matter of them following through and going to class.
Awesome. Well, Mike and Peter, I so appreciate you being on today. Mike, you did a great job, even via phone. And I've been staring at Peter now for 1 hour, so we're going to move on.
Sorry about that, Baron.
That's okay.